Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thank you very much for making us part of your weekend. Earlier this week, President Obama, in a press conference at the White House, was asked another question about Guantanamo, where we have 166 prisoners, 100 of whom are on a hunger strike. And the president reaffirmed his vow, which he had said in his presidential campaign in 2008 and early on in his administration in 2009, to close the base at Guantanamo.
I've asked my team to review everything that's currently being done in Guantanamo, everything that we can do administratively, and I'm going to re-engage with Congress to try to make the case that this is not something that's in the best interest of the American people. And it's not sustainable. I mean, the notion that we're going to continue to keep over 100 individuals in a no man's land in perpetuity, even at a time when we've wound down the war in Iraq, we're winding down the war in Afghanistan, we're having success defeating Al-Qaeda Corps, we've kept the pressure up on all these transnational terrorist networks. When we've transferred detention authority in Afghanistan, the idea that we would still maintain forever a group of individuals who have not been tried, that is contrary to who we are, it is contrary to our interests, and it needs to stop.
President Obama at his press conference earlier this week, keeping the prison open at Guantanamo Bay that houses these 166 prisoners cost the United States taxpayers $150 million a year. You do the math, and that comes out to about $900,000 per prisoner per year. Just to put that in perspective, to put a prisoner in any federal prison across this country now costs us about $30,000 a year. To put somebody in a supermax prison and hold them there costs between $60,000 and $70,000 a year. $70,000 for a supermax prison, $900,000 for a prisoner at Guantanamo. Ian Wallach is a criminal defense attorney and civil litigation attorney who has represented three Guantanamo Bay detainees in federal habeas actions, and I've asked him to join us here and talk about this. Hi, Ian. Welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
So the president says again he wants to close down Guantanamo, and yet we've got about 100 of these 166 prisoners on a hunger strike.
Right.
What's the legal case for keeping them there?
Oh, I can't see one. I mean, I'm completely in support of what the president is trying to do right now, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of lawyers throughout the country and what the Center of Constitutional Rights has been trying to do ever since Guantanamo was, you know, being implemented for this purpose. It's incredibly expensive. It could end up to be a tremendous blemish on our nation's history. And what's even more frightening is we have a phenomenal United States District Court system that handles terrorism cases incredibly well right here. I mean, they've prosecuted 500 terrorism cases successfully since 9/11, as opposed to the 7 that have been prosecuted before the military tribunals.
So, now, I've looked into the numbers here. Of that 166 that are there, 47 have been deemed too dangerous for release. 24 of them are eligible for prosecution. 9 of them have been charged or convicted of something, including those in those military tribunals you just referred to.
Right.
86 of them have been cleared for transfer or release. Why are they still there?
And that's exactly, I mean, that's exactly what is so frustrating. I do understand that there's some international issues with, you know, countries not wanting these, not wanting some individuals back, either for their personal safety, for the safety of the individuals, or for, because that government has some concerns about its relationship with America. I know that was the case with the Chinese Uyghur population. I think the fact that we have people who've been there for so long that are now, you know, cleared for release, is indicative of the strength of some of the evidence, which is pretty frustrating. And we really do need to find a place to put these people immediately or, frighteningly, which is going to disturb a lot of people, be willing to accept them here.
When you say, well, let's explore two parts of that. When you say that other countries haven't wanted to take them, we have sent some former prisoners to Yemen and other places.
Exactly.
By the way, we have to remember hundreds of people who were at Guantanamo have been released. I think the number is close to 600, isn't it?
Yes, exactly right. It's incredibly high, which, I mean, that's wonderful, and that shows progress. But again, that also shows that, you know, for a tremendous amount of these individuals, the evidence was not sufficient to sustain you know, a terrorism or a military-related conviction.
Is our problem finding countries who we are that we want to send them to? I mean, we've got problems with Al Qaeda in Yemen,
right.
So maybe we don't want to send them back there. Are there other places where these guys would be welcome?
To my knowledge, that's sort of a problem. I can't speak to that right now. I'm not aware. That being said, I can't imagine that you can't sort of negotiate countries to take these people under certain conditions. I mean, there's countries throughout the world that are tremendously in need of American support and American finance, and it would be you know, quite possible to create an arrangement where these individuals could go there. The other idea is to, you know, take them to the countries where they were from which they were extricated, and release them whether or not that country wants them, you know, and then make it that country's problem instead of our own. But right now, you know, we are holding people who apparently don't have any reason to be held, you know, who've been cleared by a very concerned unit, the most concerned unit as far as terrorism goes in the United States. And we need to give these people the freedom that they're entitled to.
What about the argument that these are enemy combatants, that we may have 86 of them who we are willing to transfer at some point, but we do have 47 who we deem too dangerous for release because we do think that they are involved in or have been involved in or will again be involved in terrorism. And frankly, we just don't want to let them have a chance at freedom in any case.
So basically what you're saying is, you know, we have so much, the argument is these people are too dangerous for us to release the facts and to put them and to subject them to trial where they might have an opportunity for release, and that's the opposite of our core, you know, fundamental constitutional values as opposed to criminal law, where everybody has a right to a speedy trial, let alone a right to a trial. And, you know, the term of enemy combatant, that was used to sort of try to carve out an exception to individuals who are normally afforded certain protections under the Geneva Conventions, and they have a right. So that argument that, oh my God, this person's so, you know, so dangerous, we can't even risk them to a process that might release them, no, that's a completely un-American concept. That's an unconstitutional concept that violates international law. If you have that much evidence, try them and they'll be convicted. If you don't, let them go.
And we do have very violent, very dangerous people who are serving time in supermax prisons, which I'm sure could hold on to these guys as well. So I come back to the basic question here. It's been years since Obama said he was going to close Guantanamo. Why doesn't he close Guantanamo?
I can't give you a pro-Obama answer on that. So many people were really hoping that Guantanamo Bay would be closed, you know, within the first months of administration. Even John McCain was campaigning on a platform that he would be willing to close Guantanamo within the first few months of his administration had he been elected, and yet that has yet to happen. And it's there's a lot of pullback apparently in Congress as to why that happened, but I just don't think there's any excuse for it. I mean, I think that these individuals need to be tried. There's a system in place. We have a U.S. District Court system that's incredibly efficient. I mean, people are outraged that, you know, oh no, how dare we trust these to civilian juries? Civilian juries have successfully prosecuted almost 500, you know, terrorism-related offenses. It's incredible, and they're us.
But isn't the real answer, Ian, Congress? Congress has used its budgetary power to block these detainees from being moved to the U.S. or transferred overseas, or the whole Guantanamo prison being closed down, because partly for safety reasons in their mind, you know, Homeland Security reasons,
right,
which you and I just rebutted, but also for political reasons. That's going to be used against them in primaries, and they don't want to have a chance of having that come up.
Well, I think politics is absolutely, you know, I mean, you probably hit the nail, you know, exactly on the head. I think a lot of people are afraid, you know, what happens if, you know, somebody is released and they get involved in ultimately they get involved in a terrorist action. It can be traced back to, you know, one political actor's, you know, acceptance or denial or allowance of that to happen. I think that's really potentially what the concern is. But, you know, if it's a budgetary concern, in theory, the president is supposed to control control the purse. In theory, he's our commander in chief. And he has made representations, as did the, you know, the Republican candidates early on. But they have made representations that this facility needs to be closed down, and the protections that are in place need to be put in place, and that the trials or tribunals need to occur. And that's not happening. I fully agree with you that Congress and politics are probably the problem. But
yep.
I don't find that an acceptable answer.
Ian, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining me on America Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Ian Wallach, criminal defense attorney who represented pro bono three Guantanamo Bay detainees in federal habeas actions. I'm Paul Harris. That's it for this hour of America Weekend. I'll meet you back here for the Sunday edition on the Envision Radio Networks. We thank you for listening.